What is poppin', world? Thanks for tuning into Vontae NYC. And when I say world, I mean world. I want to announce that Vontae NYC is officially global, as people in 6 of 7 continents have tuned into all of my great conversations. I want to thank all of my friends that I have around the world for supporting me, and it honestly means the most. Today, I have a young lady on the show who I recently saw perform at SOBs. Actually, I was one of the judges for their competition, and she had the energy from the moment I met her and kept it going until we left the building. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome Ray DJ to the show. What's poppin'?
Yo, what's good, everybody? What's good, world?
What's good? I told you we're going to be here soon, right? I
kept facts my word. Facts you did.
So let's jump into it right quick, and I'm not going to jump into anything specific to you. I want to ask one question. You're from the Bronx, right?
Yes, I am.
So this has been a topic for the week. I've been talking to a lot of people about it, and I want to ask you this question, being from the Bronx. Why do you feel like people dislike the Bronx so much?
Yo, it's funny. I say this every day. Like, defending the Bronx is a full-time job. Like,
It really is.
I don't know. I feel like people look at the Bronx as, oh, it's a dirty borough. It's that and the third. But honestly, how I see it, I feel like the Bronx is real original. Like, a lot of these boroughs is, you know, gentrified. The Bronx is the place where it's like the people who've been there for years is still there. The same boys that been there is still there. And I feel like the community is just, you know, that old school community. Like, everybody's still here. Like, for me,
I don't know why people are so against it. I'm just doing it for the fun and the laughs. But, like, I realize that people really have a strong dislike for the Bronx.
Bro, I don't understand.
And I try to ask people from the Bronx what's wrong, because I don't go to the Bronx just because I don't know anybody out there, really. So it's like, I don't have no reason to be out there, but it's like people really don't go to the Bronx. Like,
and it's like people who talk a lot about the Bronx are the people who never come to the Bronx, like, who are never here. And it's like, it's not that bad. Like, it's really not. If you have a spot in the Bronx that you know of, I promise you, like, you're going to be good. Like, because I lived here my whole life, everywhere I go, I know somebody, you know. It's always good vibes.
Because of society, I think that I will only go to the Bronx Zoo. Like, I'm just... I think that's it. But that's all I want to ask. So moving along from the boogie down, you are a singer, rapper, songwriter. Do I include rapper in your resume?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. So when did you realize that music was your calling?
I was about, you know, 8, 9. I was real young, you know, in church, seeing my mom sing in the choir, my grandmother sing in the choir. Okay. And, you know, my mom, you know, she had a talent for it. My mom could sing opera, so. I saw that, and I was just like, damn, I'm trying to be like her. And on top of that, my mom was a big Lauryn Hill fan. My mom is a roster.
Shout out to Lauryn Hill. Oh, word.
So, you know.
I used to have dreads. I cut my hair February 2017. I had dreads past my eyes, bro.
You had that hang time.
Facts. I'm going to send you a picture so you can see it after this interview.
Facts. I don't want to see. But, yeah, like, you know, it was just – it was something that was in my family. And on top of that, like, I really looked up to Lauryn Hill. My mom used to play her all the time around me. And then from there, it was just like, once I got a voice, it was over. Couldn't shut me up.
Speaking of Lauryn Hill, like, for someone of her status, like, do you think that somebody today's music industry can do what she did as far as put out one album and live off that album for the rest of her life?
Honestly, no. Like, in my honest opinion, no. This society, this age that we live in, they don't want to hear, like, what Lauryn Hill was talking about. She was talking about that real. That's why that one album just today, this year makes 20 years, and she's still
for it. She's like, about to go on a tour.
Yeah, I saw it on the Shade Room. I was just like, oh, my sister's about to head on tour.
From the same album. That's how you know her music is timeless.
Exactly. But I doubt that could happen again. Like, we're in the age of, like, nothing against them, but we're in the age of Cardi B's and Nicki Minaj. We're talking about popping that is, you know, is what niggas want to hear about. So I feel like
now, today, everybody has to pander to what's popping today, and you can't really put out timeless music because everybody's focusing on what is now, right?
Exactly. And my thing is, like, you can put out your timeless music. You can put it out there, but it's not a guarantee that people are going to sit there and be like, oh, she's actually talking, like, I doubt it. We're in this generation where people want to hear about money, flashy clothes, and that's about it.
But I feel like with that being your one of your inspirations, I feel like you can accomplish that, you know, if you work hard towards it, right?
That's a fact.
Is that something that you're working towards?
Actually, it is. It definitely is.
So my next question is this. If someone gave you a record deal today, right, and they asked you, what do you feel like you could contribute to the mainstream music world, what would you say?
Honesty.
Honesty?
Yes. Because my music, I don't... I don't talk about flashy clothes and diamonds. Like I do, but in a certain aspect of it. Like, you know, I came from nothing, to be totally honest with you. I used to be homeless. I came from the gutter, the bottom. You know, I live in the Bronx. Like, come on. So, yeah, I feel like I could do both sides of it because, you know, I came up, you know, did what I had to do, hustled hard to get where I'm at now. So I could talk about, you know, I could talk about the flash and the diamonds, but it's honest. I'm talking about what I know about. And I could talk about being from these streets and not having nothing and nobody wanting to be, you know, be around me and stuff like that, you know, being right within. So I feel like I could do it.
So you're really speaking from hardships, personal life. And I feel like honest music is the best music because now other people can relate. Especially those that don't have the flashy diamonds and the cars and the money, you know, they can relate to something that is around them. Like, you being from the Bronx, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of young females or young people in the Bronx who can look up to you and say, all right, she went from this and now she's making music, performing, you know, putting out projects. Right. We can do that as well.
That's good.
So moving on to your project. In November of 2017, you released your Ode to New Beginnings project, right? Let's talk about that a bit.
So, I actually released that project all by myself. Like, I'm proud to say it. It was a point in time a lot of people didn't believe in me. Like, I was going to studios, and even the engineers was acting funny with me. Like, that's how I knew it was real. And, like, a lot of male figures around me, they didn't want to see me win. They were just like, who's this female who thinks she could do whatever she wants to do? So I'm like, all right, since y'all want to be like that, I just wrote all the songs. I found all the beats. I paid for all the beats. I even had producers who didn't want to work with me. Like, they just didn't, like, oh, she's too young.
Even if you were offering money?
Yeah, like, it was to the, and like, even when I was offering money, they were half-assing things. Like, yo, how you gonna half-ass me and I'm paying you? Like,
yeah, that's a dub.
So I just made up my mind, you know, I'm gonna just do it myself. And you know what I did? I went to YouTube. I listened to beats for weeks, and I just found the producer, hit him up, like, yo, I like this beat. I want to buy it. Purchased the beat. Wrote the songs, and I went to Plug Studios in the Bronx. You know, A Boogie recorded his artist tape out there. Shout out to him. That's one of my idols right now. But
all right, shout out to Boogie.
In fact, I went out to Plug, and I just sat down and I recorded it. And I could even tell over there, they were just like, yo, this girl is serious. I booked like a 12-hour session, and I just knocked out the whole EP in one day. Like,
this is how I know you're serious, because you hit up the producers on these YouTube beats and bought the beats. There's people that just use them and keep the tags in them, you
exactly,
know,
and just
and can't really put their music on certain platforms because they don't own the beats or they don't have rights to the beats, so they end up on like the less, I don't want to say SoundCloud is a lesser platform, but then they can't put their music on iTunes or Spotify because
reach out to they don't more own people.
Yeah, so that's what's up. I mean, damn, I didn't even know that was a process. You did the whole thing in one shot. You said 12 hours.
12 hours, one day. I was tired, but I got it done. And, like, the reason I did that, too, is crazy. People ask me, like, oh, where did you get the money to do that? At the time, I go to school, Hostos Community College for Digital Music and Sound Engineering. So, you know, I go to school for engineering. I know what the vibe is like, but it's pricey. And at the same time, being a college student, and I didn't have a job at the time, like, I was really focused on music. So, you know, people are surprised. Like, you know, that's money you had to spend. I got my school refund check, and I was just like, listen, let me pay off these bills and put a little bit in saving, and the rest is going straight to the studio. Any dollar that came my way, I hustled. I was selling snacks, anything. Hustled to get that money, and I just dropped the tape. I put it on all streaming services. I ain't even wait. Like, I came shooting out full speed. Like, I'm ready. Like, let's go.
That's I'm loving this because I wouldn't have thought that, like, people would put out an EP in one shot. I know it takes time to record, but you were really focused, and you took whatever benefits that you had and used it towards your music, which is great. And also the fact that you're in college, because a question I ask a lot of independent artists is, how do, like, your family feel about you doing music? Because you know how parents of our generation feel. They're like, all right, go to school, do this and the third. But the fact that you're chasing your dreams and going to school and it correlates is also a big thing that people can, like, look at and say, okay, maybe I can do the same thing, you know, not put of one to do the other. I can just do both and make sure they coincide with each other.
That's a fact. You just gotta have balance.
Facts. So you have a dude by the name of Will Glitz featured on your album, and you guys also collab on a few other songs. I'm not gonna get too much into him because I'm gonna holler at him real soon, but just explain the music relationship with him.
It's funny, like, we were never supposed to be friends like that. Like, we went to high school together, and all we really did was pass each other notes and trigonometry, helping each other with the math. Like, that's how we started. Taking pictures of each other's homework. And then we graduated from high school, and, like, I got really serious about the music. And, you know, like I said, a lot of people didn't want to help me. And mm-hmm. Will saw my potential from like, 10th grade, because I used to sing in my school choir, and he always used to be like, nah, this girl could really, like, she's beastly.
Yeah.
And his dad does music. You know, music is something in his blood, and he built a home studio, and mm-hmm. Will was one of the first people ever, like, you know, come to my studio, I'm not even charging you, like, let's just record. And my first song, not even my first song, my second song that I put on SoundCloud, Will recorded it. We recorded it in Will's closet, like, in his house, and Will was just mm-hmm. like, bro, like, this is a hit, like, and Will always supported. That's one thing about Will. Like, he always believed in me when nobody else did for me. So I just,
when I saw you guys perform at SOBs, I knew there was some type of chemistry there, that you guys actually had a friendship, because it's like you guys both want to see each other win, you know?
Facts.
It's not one trying to outshine the other or that kind of thing. Like, you guys are in it together. And it's good to have, like, a music partner or somebody you could talk to, a consultant, because you can talk to anybody else about music, but then some people might not understand where you're coming
exactly,
from.
Exactly. From your
but point. If somebody's making music, then they understand your grind, your hustle.
Hustle.
So, yeah. Well, Glitz, I'm going to highlight you real soon. We're going to talk. So, 6 months into your Old to New Projects album, do you feel like it's received the recognition that you think it deserves or not?
I think it got the it didn't get the recognition it deserved, because I feel like it deserved way more. If people knew the story behind it and know, like, a young 19-year-old girl did that by herself, like, they would, mm-hmm. you know, be on it. But from my...
Oh, you're young. You're not even... How old are you, John?
I just turned 20 in March. Like, I'm young.
Ooh, yeah, you got some years to go. You're
yeah,
young.
I do. I got
and,
some
and grinding.
Time.
That's what's up.
For me, but I feel as if, like, my recognition in my neighborhood and my recognition in, like, my old community in Harlem where I used to go to school and stuff like that, it's up. Like, I can't go to 125th Street without somebody stopping me. Like, oh, you that girl that sing? Like, yeah, like, I feel like community-wise, like, people know about me, and I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I'm saying this mm-hmm. now, but I know there's somebody out there that I don't know about who's listening to it, and it's just, like, she's dope. So I feel like it's getting mm-hmm. the recognition. But like you said, I'm young. Like, I still got time. You know, people put out tapes and albums and don't get heard for years, so... It's still building
that's
its clout, so I'm going to just let it sit there, you know, so people can see how I developed, you know.
I like the EP. It's a short EP. It's, what is it, four songs in an
interlude? Four songs in an
interlude. Yeah, and I listened to it, like, a couple of days before we're doing this interview now, so Explanation was one of my favorite joints on there.
Yeah.
And the interlude was dope. Ace interlude was dope, and I like the song with Will Glitz, Chill. I like all of them, but those are, like, the three that stand out to me the
most. Your favorite.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this right now, your single that you got out now, Fuck You, is dope. And the video is also great. I like the vibes to it.
Thank you. I worked hard on that.
I was waiting for that video because you kept saying, let's get it to this amount of listens.
I was
about to hit you up. Like,
and it's funny, I was doing it just to get people angry, because, like, people were hitting me like, yo, can you drop the video already? And, like, my thing is, I worked really hard on the video. Like, a lot of people, I worked so mm-hmm. hard on that video. And it was just like, I was teasing people like, you going to get a sample, but... It came to the point where people threatening me, like, yo, hurry up and drop that video. So I was just like, let me stop this. Let me just drop it for the love. Like,
yeah, no, it was a great video. I love the song, too. And it gives me, remember that guy Iman? I don't know if he's too young to know who Iman is, but Iman had that song, Funk, what I'm saying? Don't mean
yeah,
to him. That guy. Yeah, that kind of reminded me of that. So I was like, yo, this is dope. I like this. I like songs like that really pour out emotion.
Really?
And I always tell, like, female artists that, too. I'm like, just put out some emotional music, and I guarantee you got me as a listener. I love that
That's
shit.
That's hard.
So, all right, you talk about supporting people and knowing you. How is the support from your peers? Because I speak to a lot of independent artists who have the listens on the music platforms, the views on YouTube, and the social media following. But then they find trouble when it comes to actually having people come out to support their shows. And it could be a number of reasons why the people don't come to support. But how does it play out? How does it all play out for
Honestly,
you?
In my end, I have friends who do come out and support. I'm not going to lie, but... When it comes mm-hmm. to being an artist, you got to branch out. You can't always ask the same people. You can't ask your auntie and your cousins. And because, you know, people going to get tired. And, you know, the time that we live in, not everybody has that $15, $20, $30 to throw towards a show. Feel me?
Not only that, I feel like, especially with me, because I try to make a lot of shows of my peers and just people I know, it's the time as
Facts.
Well. Like, we in a society where people have to work hella hard, especially living in New York City. You got to work. And even if you're not working, you got to work. So I feel like time is also an issue, but I'll let you continue.
And that's a fact. Time is also an issue. And how I go about it, though, like, for example, with these showcases, even how I did my EP, I hustle to get this money. So before the showcase is even booked and they're talking about selling tickets, I think to myself, like, you know, I'm going to have this amount of people pop out, I know for a fact. And I know I'm going to have this amount of people who's not going to come out. But, you know, that's not going to hinder me. I'm going to take the amount of people that I can get who wants to come, and I'll buy out the rest of the tickets. And I'll be like, listen, you don't got the money to come right now. That's cool. Here's the ticket. Show up, pop out. If you got time, just come. And that's the type of vibe.
Investing in yourself.
Yeah, I'm not even pushing people to, you know, oh, I'm going to spend this amount of money. And, like, you know, you can support an artist and, you know, I don't know, balance it out. Because I'm the type of person, I'm not forcing anybody to show up. I'm not forcing anybody to show love. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Just talk to me and I'll find a way to get you there. Because this music thing is not even about the monetary value. Like, a lot of people look at it for the money, and I genuinely want to do music, you know, bring emotion about people to see how people enjoy it. You know, I'm in it for the enjoyment.
Yep. Can I share something? Again, I said this on a recent podcast, and I just posted this on Instagram, and I said the number one fuck up people make is they can't see opportunity unless there's a paycheck attached to it. That was Charlamagne Tha God, and that was his breaking into the industry. He had like a talk with somebody about it, and that's what he said. And you're right, it's not about the monetary value sometimes, especially as an independent artist. It's hard, you know, it's already hard as it is to get your name out there. So, and people look for that check as if they're like the next big thing already, when in all reality, it's a learning process and it's also an experiment with yourself.
That is so true, because me, honestly, I'm not even looking for – everybody's looking for that day where they're on their Cardi B time. But it's like, yeah. I'm not even there, and I'm so young, and I know I got time. That's the problem with a lot of artists.
Yeah, you're young.
Like, a lot of artists want to blow up tomorrow, and it's just like, yo, it's a process. Like, you gotta wait your turn. And my what is this thing my grandma always say? Trust your process. God always has – you know, God has plans for you. It may not be for today. May not be for tomorrow, but it's coming. Just trust your process.
That's a big fact. Rady, what's one personal goal you have for your career this year?
My personal goal for this year?
Just one.
I'm actually trying to branch out to California and just boost my fan base out there. It's a goal, and I know I'm going to succeed it because I already booked my flight. I'm leaving.
Let's get it.
And I'm trying to be out there for a good month or two, just, you know, meeting people and just connecting, networking.
Yeah. Cali is dope. I have some folks out there, too, that you could connect with. They got studios. They make music. So when you go out there, just let me know, and I'm all for connecting people. You know, I got a couple of people who make music in Cali who will definitely work with you.
Definitely aligned.
Because they'll definitely rock with your sound.
All right, that's what's up. I'm definitely aligned. I'm not going to forget you.
So let's backtrack a bit to your SOB's performance. And shout out to Day Summit, by the way. It was dope. We did the Late to the Party stage. I hosted. You performed with Will Glitz. The first night you performed, you didn't win the showcase. But then the second time around you performed, you were in the top three and won for that night. What changed from that first time on stage to the second time?
Let's talk about it. Because I did the SOB show, right? And I was dumb hype. Like, I wanted to be a part of Day Summit so bad. Like, since last year when I saw them do it, I was just like, nah, I gotta be a part of this. So I booked.
Yeah, it's a good festival. It's also like I said, it's my first time hosting for them. And like I said, I kind of see like the energy and the vibe. And next year, I hope to be a host again at some point, you know? So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, facts. It's just like, it's just good opportunity. And the fact that they're giving back, like, that's what I love. I love it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, the first night at SOBs, that was the first stage I booked. I went and picked up my passes. And I was like, you know, I'm so excited. I'm doing SOBs. And then they finally let me know, like, it was a competition or whatever. But in the beginning, like, I wasn't looking at it as a competition. I was at it as, like, I'm just hitting the stage. Like, yeah. So I found out it was a competition. Like, I stayed and evaluated every performance. That's one thing I did. I evaluated every performance. I evaluated how the judges judged. I evaluated everything. And
yeah,
I was just trying to network that night. You know, I was just like, I had a feeling I wasn't going to win it.
Yeah, facts. I remember that night. You definitely.
Yeah, I was on asshole. It. Like, I knew, and I wasn't there for the, you know, the trophy to win anything. I was there just, you know, network and just meet people. And at the end of the night, April, she ran the Soulful and Bougie part of Day Summit, one of the shows out in Brooklyn and Bushwick. And she just came to me at the end of the show and she was just like, listen, I thought you were going to go up on that stage and just rap your heart out. But she was just like, I didn't even know you can sing too. So I was just like, yeah, like, I'm not just a rapper. And she invited me out and she was like, you need to come to my Soulful and Bougie showcase. I want you to perform. And she was like, I know it's last minute. And she tried to negotiate the money with me. I was like, no, I got you. I'm on it. Like, I was ready to work. And
yeah,
I popped out to
the hustle's ambition.
It was a couple other singers there, a couple artists. And I just, I was original. That's what changed. Like, you know, the songs that we did, all the songs I did with Will at the SOB showcase were original. But this second showcase, you know, Will couldn't come out. Unfortunately, he had work, you know, priorities. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to handle this one on my own. And I was nervous. Like, I went out there with no people. Like, I went out there by myself, like, dolo. I sold the tickets. And I just went. And I was just like, you know, I'm going to just be myself. I started singing, and they were just like, nah, like, who is she? And then on top of that, I was, like, the young – at all the showcases, I'm, like, the youngest one there at all times. So they were just like, yeah, she's doing the damn thing. And they gave me points for, like, my originality. And I think the fact that I was just out there representing for me, like, I wasn't thinking about anything else. I was just out there just to sing and just show love for me. And then I won.
Definitely. I was going to ask you, what edge do you think you possess over certain artists? Because – like, obviously, you stand out for a reason. You mentioned originality, and the fact that you're young and show that ambition is a big thing, especially when you're judging. Because I'll tell you, as a judge, when you have 15 acts, it's hard to really decipher who you want to win. But then you got to start looking for key elements: originality, crowd control, crowd participation, which I've seen you had in your second performance. Crazy when the crowd was singing back to you, that kind of thing. Those are the things that. And this for anybody listening who does competitions, those are the things that judges look for. You can go up there and have the best song, but if the crowd's not rocking with you, then and if you don't have that crowd control, or if you don't seem confident in yourself, then we know that, all right, you're losing that confidence because everybody else is not reacting the way you want them to. You can't do that. It's people that I know that can go on stage and the crowd might not even they might talk to each other the whole performance, but they're on stage as if they're performing Coachella.
A fact.
So that's what I was saying too.
No shade against no other artist that was in the Day Summit. Like, no shade to any artist, period. But a lot of people try to be a gimmick sometimes. Like, try to be something they're not.
Definitely. And call it for what it is.
And me personally, I'm the type of person where I'm going up on that stage and I'm just gonna be me and I'm gonna enjoy myself. I'm gonna enjoy the crowd. And I feel like the crowd feeds off your energy. If you go up there pretending to be somebody and not being doing a whole bunch of extra that's not appealing to the eye, you know, it's not gonna work in your favor. So me, when I go,
because I feel like as hot, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's good. I was just saying, like, you know, when I go out there, I feed off the crowd and I just act as myself, you know.
I feel like as hard as it is to be on stage already, like, to add a gimmick to it, it's kind of, you just set yourself up because now you got to worry about your stage presence. Then you got to worry about if everybody going to accept the gimmick you're trying to portray. It's like, so I hosted and then, like I said during the showcase, I haven't hosted anything for 3 years. And then somebody asked me, was I nervous? And I'm like, well, if I was trying to be somebody else, I would be nervous. But I'm being me. This is me 24/7. So this is as natural to me, just me speaking in front of a larger group of people.
That's right.
That's what. So any performances in the near future for you?
I actually have a performance today. It's an open mic, and the winner gets to open up for Jay Critch. So I got my fingers crossed.
Oh, you're going to that? Okay. I seen a lot of A&Rs that I know, and a lot of people posting it. Shout out to Trophy Life. Trophy Life was the first person I seen post that. She posted that, and I'm glad people are signing up and going to it. And I unfortunately won't be able to make that because I have work priorities. But I wish you the best of luck on that, because you know me and you are gonna work very, very soon. So I don't want to mention anything yet until everything's finalized. But we definitely have something in the works for June. So I just want everybody to keep that in mind. Rady J, Vontae NYC, June. You know, you're gonna come back to this. So I have one last question, main question, before we get towards the end of this interview, and it's: if you can give some encouraging words to a young woman who is pursuing her dreams, no matter what they might be, what would you say?
Don't give up. Like, that's one thing. Don't ever give up. If you ever feel like, you know, not enough people is paying attention, not enough people care, God cares and you care. Hold on to your dreams and just keep pursuing. Don't stop. Because as a female, we, you know, a lot of heads don't turn to us sometimes. They don't pay us no mind because, you know, this is a man's world, quote unquote. But
yeah, as sad as it may sound, even in today's society, it is what it is, you know?
Facts, but you just got to stay strong. Just know, like, if you believe in yourself and you believe in what you're doing, keep going, and one day it's going to pay off. Just trust your process. Trust your process.
Definitely. So at 20 years old, we have Miss Rady J, who is trying to expand her brand from East Coast to West Coast. Out here at all these shows, about to perform to see if she can open up for Jay Critch, who is also on the come up still, no matter what. He's still on the come up. Thanks. I mean, he's out there, but he's going to come up. And it just shows that everybody is on their grind, you know? And I do wish you well in the future, because like I said, we're gonna work together, and I'm waiting to announce all of these things because I feel like
you gotta let them wait. You can't let them know what's happening.
Oh yeah, I'm on your type of time. I'm gonna let them suffer.
Let it marinate. let them hear.
I'm letting them suffer. Definitely. So Ray J, thank you for taking the time out to sit and chat with your boy.
Nah, thank you.
Where can we find you? Oh, of course. I told you from that night. I said if you're going to work, I said I'm gonna clear up my schedule and I'm gonna holler at you. So where can we find you on social media and where can we hear your music?
Listen, you can just search me up, Google me, Rady John. That's RaydyJohn. Or you can follow me on Instagram. That's where I do most of my updates. And my Instagram is I am Rady J. That is IamRaydyJ. If you didn't know about me then, okay, you know about me today. Feel me?
That's a fact. And before I go, I just want to quickly shout out the homie Michelle and her son Aaron and her precious daughter Maya. They're great people, a great family I work with. Michelle and Aaron have been great support since I met them. Thank you for my sponsor, Poland Spring. And ladies and gents, I want to thank all who took the time out to listen to the Vontae NYC podcast. It means the most to me. And I'm glad that you listened to get to know about all the independent movers and shakers this generation has to offer. And I will see you again when I see you again. Later.